Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is Wizard of Odds, Michael Shackelford. We didn't scare him enough last week, so we agreed to come back. Michael Shackelford, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks for having me back.
Tonight, all three of us are going to be talking about G2E, Global Gaming Expo, which is the largest gambling trade show in the world, and it happens every fall in Las Vegas. This year, it closed today. And for the last 3 days, the exhibit hall displayed new games, surveillance equipment, chairs, magazines, uniforms, advertising agencies.
Food. A lot of food.
Oh, the food. And yeah, you could get snuckered. There was the alcohol section, too.
Yeah, hooray for Cisco. They had great stuff.
And almost everything it takes to run a modern-day casino. Each of us are going to talk about the stuff we found interesting. I look mostly at video poker. While Mike and Richard looked at other things. So we'll start with you, Richard. Usually in the casino, you're looking for dealers to make a mistake. Now, that can't be what you were looking at the show. What did you find?
No, I'm looking for new games where the dealers are going to make mistakes. And, one in particular that I'm sure Michael will have a lot to talk about. We'll talk about that. But before I get to that, another nice feature is all these places hire, super hot models to stand there and try to lure you into their booth. So that's always something to go.
The TNA effect.
Yes, yes. Shufflemaster is always big on hiring those girls. But actually, the thing I found the most interesting before we talk about any new games, because, 95% of the games that are introduced there, I never see again. So, but the thing I found most interesting was there was a guy who had a device, and it was kind of a box with a screen on the top, and you would stick playing cards into the box, and it would scan the backs of the cards using different wavelengths of light. Uh-huh. So ultraviolet and infrared, and it, the purpose of this box was to detect marked cards.
Okay.
So the one thing that I found real, you would look at these cards that he had, you would not see any marks on them with the naked eye, and then you put them in the magic box and the marks appear, right? So one of the things that was interesting is that under a certain wavelength of light, the color red disappears if it's the right color red.
Okay.
George Joseph ended up writing a book called something like Why Women Shouldn't Wear Red in the Casino or something, because their dresses disappear under the certain type of cameras in the eye.
Shackelford just perked up a little bit.
Right. So he showed me a certain card with a red back, and he stuck it in the box under this wavelength, and the red disappears, so it looks like the back of the card is white.
Okay.
Right? So his sales technique was to buy playing cards from different casinos, mark one, then take two of the cards, put them in an envelope, send them to the casino, and say, can you tell which one of these cards is marked? Let me come in and show you my magic box that'll, show you the markings on your cards. Anyway, so he went and bought a deck at Gambler's General Store from a particular casino here in Las Vegas. And he was putting the cards in his box, and they were red, and some of them were coming out as white, but the others were still coming out as red. So the cards had two different red paint on the back. And when he turned the cards over, he found that all the low cards showed as white and the other ones showed. So without him even marking the cards,
they were pre-marked by somebody.
They were pre-marked by somebody, presumably in the manufacturing process, which they made a movie about that back in the 70s, a guy who...
Interesting.
Anyway, that was the most interesting thing I saw at the show. Now, I mean, I said to the guy, now, did you really buy the deck this way, or did you buy 100 decks and sort the cards out? You know, no, this, you know, I bought it this way, but I don't know. The guy seemed a bit shady, so I don't know if that's true or not. But that was the most interesting thing I saw.
Okay. Shaq, what was the most interesting thing you saw?
I didn't see anything especially interesting, to be perfectly honest with you. It was the show with the table games. It was a lot of people stealing each other's ideas, taking an already popular game and adding a side bet to it and changing the name a little bit and saying, here's a new game.
I did see that as well. Yeah, there were some games that looked almost identical to, you know, steal someone else's trademark or whatever.
Yeah, there's just a lot of cannibalizing in the business right now. So, yeah, I can't think of anything interesting off the top of my head.
Well, one interesting thing was this guy that we both happened to stop at this guy's booth, and this guy is invented something called full-color cards. And go ahead. Why don't you explain?
Yes. There was a gentleman, as you said, who had a booth that had games that were played on a altered deck of cards of 55 cards numbered 1 to 11 in 5 different colors. And in the games that I saw, the white cards counted negative. So as he was explaining to these games, he was always saying, you know, the card is the total is now -5, now it's +3, now it's -8, you know, like he was keeping a high-low count. The rules were of these games were, you know, despite these playing cards were already pretty complicated, you know, I don't like to, you know, say... I don't like to put people down, but, you know, these games violated almost all of my Ten Commandments of gambling.
One of which is to keep it simple.
Yes, and if you're going to have a card game, just use regular cards, because I've seen other people try with altered decks, and they always crash and burn.
Right, I mean, the casino was going to have to invest in all these new cards, right?
Yes.
Yes,
and you know, players aren't familiar with the strategy of these new cards. They're going to have no clue what is an intelligent decision to make at the table. And you know, players have been playing with regular 52-card decks their whole lives, and they have kind of a feel for the strategy of them. So,
you know, my first thought when I saw it, we sat down and we started playing these games, and it was he had a full color blackjack, full color baccarat, full color poker, and they clearly had a lot of money behind them. Actually, I talked to one of the guys there who was a venture capitalist who I guess they put $400,000 into this. Yeah, the blackjack game, if you think of the white cards as a suit. You know, yeah, it was like those are negative and the total would go up and down. And I just thought this. But the other thing I thought about was when I was in high school and college, I played a lot of home game poker. And it was a lot of high-low split with very complicated rules.
Threes, fives, and sevens wild.
Well, sometimes it was wild cards, but often it was like spit cards, and you could buy and replace cards. And my feeling was the more complicated you make the game, the better it is for the better players. And I thought the same thing about this. I mean, I thought, first of all, you're going to get so many payoff errors because the dealers are just never going to learn how to play these games, mm-hmm. and the bosses aren't going to be much better at it. So mm-hmm. I thought if the game ever does come around, I think it'll be a real boom for the players, at least in the beginning.
Very good point. Very good point.
But there was a video poker version that I thought, well, there it doesn't cost anything for the casino to – they don't have to buy all new decks of cards or whatever. And
there's no
you could
payoff
try
errors.
That out.
Yeah,
you
there's
know.
No payoff errors. The machine's going to pay you correctly.
Well, that's true. Yes. But, I mean, that's the only one I could see catching on that would have a chance of – I mean, if I owned the casino, that's the only one that I might consider giving a tryout. Mm-hmm. You know, because you could just show it, throw it onto a machine that has 10 different games, and if players start playing it and like it, well, fine. And if they don't, that's okay too.
Well, it doesn't work that way. If you throw it on a machine with 10 other games, you got to own all 10 of them. It's like IGT with its box doesn't want Joe Blow Company to put another game on its box, so it's got to be your own box with your own games.
Second, unless they can make a deal with IGT or someone else.
Yeah, if they could talk videopoker.com into picking up the games. I don't like the chances. Yep. But there are other game designers who work with IGT. Now, another big problem, the games that have been most successful in video poker are the ones that can be analyzed with existing computer software. And so in the Super Times Pay is really popular. Randomly you get a multiplier. It's 6 coins instead of 5, and randomly you get this multiplier, but you use exactly the same strategy, and playing the game adds a 0.25% or so, and it's very popular with the players. Now, there's a version
But now Ultimate X hasn't been easy to analyze for
Ultimate
the players.
X is a son of a gun to analyze, and it has done well. And sometimes the but some of the casinos are taking it out when they happen to be get Delta Royal when there's 12x multipliers, and all of a sudden this is a quarter game. And
casinos are such babies.
It cost me $250,000 or whatever the number came out to be. It's but the new game they had that I said is like Super Times Pay is called Hot Roll, where Hot Roll is you're actually rolling dice.
Virtual dice.
Oh. But they look like real dice, close enough. And one of the rules is that if it looks like real dice, it's got to act like real dice, meaning there's a 1 in 36 chance to come out with a 2 or a 12, and a 2 in 36 chance to come out with a 3 or 11, etc. So the odds, so the mean is 7. And so whatever it comes out to be, that is the multiplier. So if it comes out to be a 7, then it's 7x times if you're playing 10 play times all 10 lines. So it is a 10 coin per line game. The multiplier comes out. If it came out exactly every 6 hands, then it turns out it would be exactly even money. So it's a little bit – comes out a little bit – more often than every 6 hands. And so you're going to have an edge playing it. It is, but there's no strategy change that you need to do.
So is this a new game, or is this game exist already? It's already out.
It is a new game. It is, I saw it for the first time this summer. I'm in the IGT showroom. Mm. And so it was shown for the first time at the show this week. So that has a real good chance of making it. Another one which has a real good chance of making it that I personally hated was called Barnyard Poker. Barnyard Poker is a triple play game, meaning there's 3 lines. And every time you get dealt a certain hand, a multiplier something goes into either a pig or a cow. Or a goat. And when it goes into the cow, it's... And when it goes into the pig, it's... And so these
that
loud...
really annoying.
Oh, quickly. And so eventually, it goes high enough. And when it gets up to some predetermined level, it will not get higher than 36. It bursts and gets distributed on the 3 lines. So if it were 20, then you'd get 7x multiplier on the bottom 2 lines and a 6x multiplier on the top line.
Can you turn off the sound effects?
I don't know. I'm more concerned with how close it's going to be to the game I want to play. Now, I've played in casinos where the perfect game for me is right next to a Wheel of Fortune machine, and that just really drives you nuts. But anyway, all video poker players who play hours and hours and hours on the same machine have been through versions of this. It's also a game that's going to lend itself to cherry picking, meaning players are going to walk through and see what the bonuses are.
The casinos just love those players.
Oh, they just love it. And so I don't know the magic number. I haven't analyzed it. But if it's, say, 20 or higher, they might sit down and play it until it bursts, and then they leave. And
like the old piggy bank game.
And although this game requires some strategy, because you have to know how to play video poker, because you are playing video poker for however many hands it is until it bursts, and presumably these cherry pickers, for lack of a better word, aren't video poker experts. Some are.
I think flea would be a good word for.
Well, I've actually used some terms and been accused of losing, and whenever I use such terms, I get trashed. So we'll just call them cherry pickers for now. You can call them what you want. The two games that were really interesting that I don't think is going to make it. One is called Look Ahead. Now, this is a 7-coin game instead of a 5-coin game. And so you are dealt 5 cards as normal, and you see the first card on the stack. You see the first card you're going to get. So if you're dealt 4 of the royal, ace, king, queen, jack of hearts, and a 5 of something, you normally throw the 5 away and go for the royal. Well, if you see it's a black ace off the top, well, you're not going to go for the royal because you're not going to get it. There's going to be an ace coming. So in that case, you would hold the ace of the royal, throw everything else away, get the other ace, and go from there. So it's interesting. It's hard to know what the strategy is, but it's interesting. They have another version of the same game. They call it Super Look Ahead. That's an 8-coin per line game, or it's actually a single line, so 8-coin game. And on that game, you see the next card, but you get your choice whether or not you want it or you want to burn it. So if it was the ace, king, queen, jack of hearts, and a 5 of spades, and you see the ace of diamonds is coming, you may well choose to burn it and still go for the royal. If you're not going to do that, you don't have a chance to win. Now, the reason I think it's not going to make it is there's no software supporting it. You need the games with software supporting it, I think, are necessary. Now, that's a personal bias since I sell software, but I believe in it. Another game that was kind of fun, it's called Rack'em'Up Poker. It's with a pool room theme. So there's also a pun involved where they have a picture of chesty girls looking over the pool table at the top, so the word rack is used in two different ways. And that gives you bonuses. If you're dealt a pair, then if you get so many 3-of-a-kinds or full houses or 4-of-a-kinds, you're going to get bonuses. So it's a 7-coin per line game, and the bonuses are such that it has extra value. The strategy is complicated because it's not just the base game, it's the base game plus the bonuses, and you're playing either 25 play or 50 play or 100 play, and the strategies are likely different for all three games and for every variation of the game. And when you need a different strategy for every game, it usually doesn't work. But Ultimate X aside, did you see that game, Michael?
Yes, I did. And one thing frustrating for me is IGT keeps putting out these games that would be very complicated to analyze, let alone play. So, but yeah, I did see that.
I actually didn't think that would be that hard to analyze. Maybe it would be.
Well, I saw a game both there and at Harrah's called Stack'em Poker.
Yes.
So that involves 5x5 matrix of cards, and you can get paid both horizontally and vertically.
Yes.
And that would be a tough one. And then they had another one, I forget the name of it, Raise 'em Up Poker or something, where cards can float up if from the bottom hand to the upper hands if they improve the higher hands. That would be a real tough analysis. So I like it when IGT kindly at least gives me what the optimal returns of these games are, which they usually do, and I'm waiting for that information on some of these new games.
Yeah, there's this heads-up poker game that you have, and you can choose to play against either Phil Hellmuth or Johnny Chan, and they talk to you. They trash-talk you. And Phil Hellmuth is well-known for his snide remarks.
Is this different than the heads-up hold'em game that's been out for the last year or so?
No, if you've seen it out in the show, then it's still displayed today, but if you've seen it out there in the casinos, then it is...
The older version didn't have Johnny Chan or Phil Hellmuth.
This one has... There's a lot of heads-up video poker games out there. And this one has these guys trash-talking you. There is a button that says... Shut Phil Hellmuth up that you can push.
But are these the ones where you're literally playing hold'em against the machine?
You're playing heads up. It's a limit hold'em.
Yes, okay.
It is a limit hold'em, and they had to dumb it down or players would have no chance.
Right. Michael Kaplan wrote an article about this machine maybe a year ago.
There's several different hold'em variations out there.
In this game, is Phil Hellmuth a sore loser when you beat him?
Take a guess. Yeah, he's very sore.
We're trying to get Phil on the show, so you know.
Oh well, Phil is very charming all the time. No, I mean, well, he knows what his image is. He's trading off it, and so he's allowed them to show him at his most obnoxious, and so when people beat him and he starts pouting, you know, that gives him an extra. That's a good thing. So he's certainly getting a cut of this, and he presents, Johnny Chan trash talks you in a different way, and so they didn't have Scotty Wynn, but Scotty would do it in a different way yet. But it was it was kind of amusing. All right,
and I can report on more of the table games if we have time.
We have time. Report on the ones that are most interesting in some respects.
Okay. Well, I'll go through some of the more interesting ones. Cajun Stud is basically a copy of Mississippi Stud by Galaxy Gaming. Just changed the name a little bit and threw on a different side bet. Crisscross Poker is one of the few games that I liked at the show. And this game is already pretty popular on the East Coast, or so I hear. It involves getting two community cards and, I mean, two hole cards and five community cards in a cross shape, and you can get paid for your hand, including the three horizontal community cards, the three vertical ones, and then a third time for the better of the two ways. And it involves two opportunities to raise. The strategy is not too complicated.
Does the dealer also have a hand? Or?
No. No, it's just you against the pay table. And I already analyzed this game on my site because a lot of people from back east were writing to me about this game, and the rules intrigued me. And it's the kind of thing that I just had to modify my Mississippi Stud program a little bit to calculate the odds for it.
Are there betting rounds in that game?
Yes. I believe you see your first two cards and... I don't remember the rules off the top of my head, but I believe you get your first two cards, and then they deal two of the community cards, and then you can make a raise bet on a cross hand, and then they show the two up and down cards, and then you can make a raise bet on the down hand, and then they reveal the middle card, which completes both hands, and I know there's also a third bet in there based on the stronger the two hands. So I'm sorry I don't have the rules completely memorized for that.
No, that's right.
But it's all on my website. Dueling for Dollars is another Galaxy game that's basically a imitation of Casino War. But in this one, it's like Baccarat. You can bet on the dealer hand or the player hand.
Oh.
So DJ Wild is a Shuffle Master game, or Shuffle Entertainment, I should say, or maybe Bally Gaming, I should say. But it's like Caribbean Stud, but the deuces are wild, and they also throw a joker in the deck. Four-card Frenzy basically is a knockoff of four-card poker. Fortune 7 Baccarat is a knockoff of Easy Baccarat. Okay, we already talked about full-color Baccarat with the colorful decks. Let's see. Lucky 13s. This was another interesting game. This plays like blackjack, but instead of having face cards, there are 11, 12, and 13 cards. So the player can be dead as soon as he gets his first two cards. Like if he gets a 12 and a 13, he's already got 25. He's busted. But if you don't bust and the dealer is showing, say, a 13, then you're in great shape. And they calibrate the other rules so that the house advantage is reasonable. And so, you know, again, I give the guy points for creativity and trying something new. And at the show there, he provided basic strategy cards so players would know what they're doing, which I would recommend he provide in the casinos as well. I'm not predicting it'll be a great financial success, but real nice guy that running the game, and I at least wish him success. Okay, Matchem High Low. This was one of the few new concepts by one of the big makers. This was a Shuffle Master game. And cards are scored like in blackjack, except the face cards are worth zero, and you're just counting points. And it's, you know, that's about all I remember about it. Okay, Solitaire Stud is similar to a game called High Card Flush, which is starting to gain popularity, but instead of trying to get a better, higher flush hand than the dealer, you're looking for a higher solitaire hand than the dealer, where you're basically looking for a straight where the colors alternate. Supreme 99. This was kind of an interesting game and a new game by Shuffle Master. The player gets four cards and the dealer gets four cards, and then the player arranges them in a two-card high hand and a two-card low hand, kind of like Paigao tiles, and then it's scored much like in Paigao, where the best you can do is get a pair, and if you don't have a pair, then they're scored like in Baccarat, where nine is the most points and zero is the least, and much like Paigao or Paigao poker, you compare the player's high to the dealer's high, player's low to the dealer's low, and if you win both ways, then you win even money, and the house advantage comes from the dealer winning on copies. Three-card Prime is basically a knockoff of three-card poker, and I wanted to talk about a game. I don't know whether to call it a table game or a video game, but it's called Vegas 2047 Pinball. And the way this works is it's a pinball game. It's really well done, but it's all electronic, but it's incredibly realistic. The player makes a bet, and he can put in how much he wants to bet, and he can control what his winning goal is. For example, I might say I want to bet $20 and I want to either win $50 or nothing. And then you play a game of pinball, which will affect your probability of winning, but not substantially. And the better you do in this pinball game, the better your odds are.
Are you controlling the flippers?
Yes, there are flippers, and it's definitely a skillful game. And at the end of it, when you lose your last ball, according to the number of points you got, it will shape these pie slices in a wheel, in a spinning wheel. The wheel will spin and stop somewhere randomly, and if it stops on a winning slice, then you win. And the most important thing that determines the size of the slice is the ratio of your winning goal to your bet. But again, it's adjusted a little bit according to how well you did in the pinball game.
So in theory, someone could actually become so skillful at this game that they have an edge.
I thought you might ask that, and I asked that of the people that are promoting this game. And I said, you know, what if the world's best pinball player comes in here to play this thing? You know, is he going to kill the casino? And they said no. Number one, because the skill component is not that much. And also, The game is made so that not only does your skill matter, but all the skill of all the players before you matter as well. Also, you know, let's say that they put this game in the bingo room and you get a bunch of elderly old women playing this thing and doing awful, and then the world's best pinball player comes in there and plays it. Yes, that's going to improve his odds, but I was told that the casino manager can set this thing so that it never has an expected value over 100%. And he said he can lower that as well according to the wish of the casino manager. So I do not perceive an advantage play here, unfortunately.
So, and he doesn't have to tell the players what it's set at. He can just set it at anything he wants and change it at any time he wants?
Yep, much like a reeled slot machine.
Uh-huh.
Then I would... Sounds to me like the skill is illusory.
Yeah, it doesn't count for much. And frankly, I thought it was against gaming regulations in Nevada to even have skillful games like this. But the people in the booth there did not agree with me. But you may recall there have been slots like Family Feud and Jeopardy where you got trivia questions. Mm-hmm. And it was my understanding that those were only legal because the consolation prizes, if you were wrong, were just as good as the prizes if you were right.
Yeah.
But anyway, certainly an interesting concept, a very fun game. So, you know, I always try to give credit to people that try something new.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about how casinos have not been recruiting younger players and that younger players, because of so much video game play, are not really into watching a slot spin around with no interaction. So at least this game gets you interacting with it, which may draw people in. I mean,
yeah, on the other hand, though, you know, it takes a few minutes to play through a game, and casinos are very big on speed. And I'm told that the minimum bet on this game is going to be a recommended $100. So that's going to scare away a lot of your younger players.
That seems crazy. That's just crazy.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not the one behind it.
Right.
There was this pod. It was approximately 4-foot sphere. It's by Merkur people, Merkur. I hadn't heard of them before. And you go into it and close the door, although there's space around, so it's claustrophobes won't be totally freaked out. And then you play a slot machine. But because the rest of the world is shut out, you can hear the sounds of the slot machine quite a bit, and you're in your own little world there. So it does seem like it would be very expensive to put on the floor, but it was kind of interesting.
Hmm. See if they combine that with like a virtual ride, you know, like where you're going through space or something. And
yes, yeah, like an airplane simulator.
Yeah, right.
So it catches on fire.
I think virtually. A lot of slot players are already lost in their own little world, and they don't need a bubble around them.
All right, so Richard, we've gotten some emails over the last week.
We got a couple of emails. Yes, we've got quite a few emails this week, and some of them actually particularly for Shaq. So the first one is a guy emailed me asking what is the at what point does the jackpot in Caribbean Stud become a positive EV bet?
Okay, that information is on my site, of course, in the Caribbean Stud section. There's different pay tables for the progressive jackpot, but I believe the most common one here in Las Vegas pays 50 for the flush, 75 for the full house, and 100 for the four of a kind. If that is the case, then the break-even point on just the progressive jackpot is $263,000. $302.26. And keep in mind, that's just the break-even point on the jackpot. You still have to play the base game to be allowed to bet on the jackpot. So if you factor in the expense of playing the base game, then the break-even point becomes all the more higher. I'm sure into the 300,000s. And if I may tell a story, I think I've only seen a Caribbean Stud table go positive twice. And once was in Atlantic City, and it was way over positive. It was like 350,000. and they put a $10 minimum on the game, and there were players standing around waiting to play it. So I don't think that this is going to be the kind of thing where you're going to see positive opportunities a lot.
Yeah.
All right.
Another listener wanted to know if you he said he likes your site a lot and he would like to have access to your site while he's in a casino. So do you have any plans to release an app that would give him access to your site?
Well, earlier this year, I spent a lot of money to give my odds site a new look, and it's a lot more mobile friendly now. But is it an app? No. I do have an app called the Video Poker Wizard. It never sold enough to justify making more apps, although I'd really like to. I think it would be a great service to the gambling community, but is it going to be a good business idea for me? Probably not. I'd love to do one on PyGow Tiles.
It seems like you have to give them away and then either make the money advertising or upselling somehow. I mean, people just don't want to pay for apps.
Yeah. And, you know, why should someone pay for an app when they can play these free games on my site anyway? I mean, some do. It's not like my Video Poker Wizard was a complete failure. I make about $500 a month from it. But it doesn't justify the money that I spent developing the game.
Oh. Oh. Let's see. We had another question. This one was for me about the reader wanted to know. I mean, the listener wanted to know two questions. One was, what countries of the world have the best blackjack games right now? Unfortunately, I have no idea. I haven't been playing out of the country. And if I did know something really good, obviously I wouldn't be announcing it on the radio.
Well, I can chime in something about that.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
In Panama, they have pretty liberal blackjack rules. Off the top of my head, I don't remember all of them, but they did have early surrender against a 10, and I believe you could double on three cards. And I calculated the house advantage under the standard Panama City blackjack rules at like 0.12%.
Huh. And do you know how they take action? I mean, if somebody shows up betting a lot of money, would they take it well?
I believe that the maximum bets on the main casino floor were, say, $300 to $500, maybe in some of the nicer casinos, $1,000 in the high-limit rooms. But that's probably about the most they're going to take.
Okay. Now, this same listener also wanted to know if I thought there was more money to be made at blackjack or baccarat.
Well, if your name's Phil Ivey.
Or the cards, you know, are shuffled exactly the same way
actually,
two times in a row.
Yeah, right. By the way, we can talk about that later.
Okay.
But the unshuffled cards. But my feeling is if you have a way to beat baccarat, you can win much more money out of a casino at baccarat than you can at blackjack, especially if you use an Asian BP. So now, you know, I know the next question I'll get is, well, how do I beat baccarat? That you're going to have to
work out yourself.
He also asked if there were any good books on beating baccarat, and unfortunately, There are not any that I know of. So,
now we actually mentioned Phil Ivey kind of in passing. He is going to be interviewed next Tuesday night on 60 Minute Sports. I think that's Showtime, and they're going to be addressing whether he was cheating or not on the. At Crockford's and at the Borgata in Atlantic City when he was doing the edge sorting techniques. Just to guess, I'm going to say he's going to say he wasn't cheating. Just to guess.
Yeah. Well, certainly should be an interesting show. Actually, I think his London case is coming up right now. I think I think there's actual stuff going on right now. I know a couple of people are over in London.
Think it's next week.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'll definitely watch that show.
Yes. Good. All right. We're going to do a few commercials now. And when we get back, before the show, Michael said that
If we have time, he has an embarrassing question to ask me. So we're so I'm going to take a long time on the commercials. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else has. The October promotion is called $600,000 Monster Money. There'll be casino-wide progressive that begins at 10,000 and keeps expanding until it's hit, which must be before 25,000. In addition to the winner, every player actively playing with a card inserted when the progressive goes off receives $25 in free play. Then a new progressive immediately begins at 10,000, and they keep doing this for the whole month. In addition, at 11 o'clock every morning, another progressive starts at 1,000, and that must hit by 2,500. When it hits, it stays down until 11 o'clock the next day. Now, on last month, they had a $525,000 promotion, and I wrote an article that you can find on the Las Vegas Advisor blog that said my thought was it added about 0.25% to the player. So this is, they're giving away 600,000. So this might presumably add 0.3% to the player, which makes it a form of double points all month long, where 0.3 is their normal game. And although the percentage you get depends on what stakes you play. If you're playing $60 a hand, a $25 free play isn't very much. If you're playing $1.25 a hand, a $25 hit is quite a percentage of what your bet is. So this is a game where playing lower stakes might make more sense percentage-wise. The free video poker class next week is 9-7 triple double bonus. This is an extremely volatile game. If you're on a fixed income Social Security, don't even think about this game. It is Jacks Are Better, for example, has a variance of 19. That's a pretty low variance as video poker goes. Double bonus is variance of 28. Double-double, which is considered pretty high variance, has a variance of 42. Triple-double is a variance of 93. So it is really hot. The machine will reach into your pocket and take everything you have. If you get four aces with a kicker, you get 4,000 coins. Twos, threes, and fours with a kicker, you get 2,000. So those are the high points. But every time you get a three of a kind, you only get paid 10 coins instead of the more normal 15. So you're going to get a lot of these three of a kind. So you're going to get this drag of 5 coins every time you do. And if you hit one of those big ones today, you're going to enjoy your results. If you don't, you won't. Anyway, the class is at noon Wednesday in the Grandview Lounge. Everyone at least 21 years of age and older is invited. At the Palms, the weekly drawing in October happens on Saturday this month instead of Friday. Otherwise, it's the same. There's going to be $10,000 given away to 10 winners, shared between 10 winners. First prize is $3,500. You don't need to be there to win, but you do need to claim it by midnight or it evaporates. Five times drawing entries, Friday and Saturday, 8 p.m. to midnight. Two times entries all day Sunday and Tuesday. Play for points, PFP. The ending tomorrow, Friday, it's going to be free play. This is at a rate of 0.2% for video poker players. It's not quite two times points. The normal points there are 0.25, but it's close. You can collect up to $200 per day Monday through Friday. For the 2 weeks beginning Monday, the PFP prizes are Lowe's gift card. Lowe's are the competitor of Home Depot's. And up to $200 a day. And those will be at a rate of 0.25%. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play a lot of games. When you sign up for the gold membership, which is $8.95 a month or $79.95 for the year, It allows you to get corrections on most games. It's a good place to practice quick quads, for example. Now, you can get the strategy from me or from Shaq's website, but if you want correction, go to videopoker.com. For most players, you have no idea of how badly you really play until you have a computer program correcting your mistakes. Their weekly contest this week is 100 Play Quick Quads. This is about as fun as a game can get. I have not seen it out there in real live casinos with pay schedules that interest me, but if they did, I would be all over it. I like 100 Play. I like quick quads, and the combination is kind of fun. All right, Michael, so you were going to let me have it here.
All right, so you wrote an article saying that you were staying in a hotel somewhere, and when you booked this reservation, you were given two choices. You could pay, for example, $100 for just the room, or you could pay $110 for the room with a free breakfast buffet. You chose to pay just the $100 and not get the buffet. I imagine when you checked in, you were probably expecting them to mention, you know, I see you didn't pay for the buffet, and therefore we're not going to give you a voucher for it. Anyway, the next morning, as I hear it, and correct me if I'm wrong, there was the buffet in the lobby, and nobody was collecting vouchers. It seemed to be on the honor system, and you helped yourself to the buffet. You wrote an article defending yourself for doing this. And on my forum, you got dragged through the mud for this, you know, as if you were a common thief. So I would like to give you the opportunity to tell the story in your own versions, and this is your opportunity to defend yourself.
Well, the facts he gave are close enough that we don't need to split hairs on some of the differences. Although I wasn't really defending myself, I was actually commenting that this is very similar to what happens in casinos all the time, where at many times, like at there'll be a high limit room with a refrigerator, and you can help yourself to beverages or apples or whatever it is. If you are a high limit player, is the way it is geared. Well, they don't check ID there either, and so players regularly help themselves, whether or not they are officially eligible for it or not. The casino has to decide whether it is cost effective and PR wise to police that or just to let it go. And many casinos let it go. Some casinos police it. If you want to go to the Harrah's Diamond Lounge, they're going to check your ID and just to let you in the door. Some other places don't do that. So the places without the safeguards, players abuse this all the time. So I did not consider it stealing. It clearly was not what the hotel had in mind. The Bonnie and I are going back there this year. This was actually at a square dance in Indio, which is in Riverside County in California, and in November. And this November we're going back. So I checked the website again. It happened to be a travel lodge, and to get the best price. And lo and behold, the price is $5 more per night this year, and breakfast is included. So I actually...
So you're paying for your breakfast this year?
Yeah, well, I'm paying the price they ask, and apparently they're not going to check again this year either. So defending it, I don't know that I was defending it. I was saying a lot of people do that, and I was more honest than others in admitting that sometimes I do those things. So, and on VP Free, I was trashed considerably as well. There's a monitor, so when the name calling got too bad, the monitor stepped in a little bit. I don't know how much you protected my honor on your site, Michael. I assume you didn't kick anybody off for calling me whatever they called me.
It didn't get so bad that I had to start banning people.
Uh-huh. So, anyway, that's all there is to it. And
Well, you know, I have to say that I disagree with your position.
Okay.
You know, for example, let's say you had no play history at the Mirage, and but you saw the opportunity to sneak into their buffet. Would you have any moral compunction to do that?
Their buffet? Are the snacks that are laid out in the high limit room?
Well, I started with the buffet, so how would you feel about that?
Well, I don't think the Mirage is going to have a situation where players are going to go through the door unchecked. They charge you to go in there. And if you have a coupon, fine. But if you don't have a coupon, you pay. So they have chosen, that's the way they choose to run it. So I would not...
But what if, you know, you see an opportunity to sneak in through the exit or something like that?
I've never done that.
Well, where I used to live in Baltimore, I would see people sneaking in through the exit of a local buffet a lot. And okay. it bothered me when people did that on a moral level.
Okay. You clearly haven't gotten over that. All right. So you know what,
we have very little time left, so I would actually like to move on to one more question that
our
listeners sent. And that is for Mike, he has a new owner of the site, or the guy who bought the site, and he's an affiliate to Internet Casinos. And they want to know if presumably he's going to be advertising for many more Internet casinos on the site. And if players end up having problems at any of those casinos, are you going to be an advocate for those players?
If they are a wizard player, and when you click on these ads or links to the casinos, there's an affiliate code that basically says, oh, this guy came from the Wizard of Oz and he signed up for an account. Therefore, we're going to kick some money back to the wizard. And so if a player is a confirmed wizard player because he came through our site and then has a dispute, it has been my policy for 14 years that I would stand behind that player and approach the people that I know at the casino and say, look, this player had this problem and this is his version. What is your version? And offer to try to work this out. The number of times that I've been asked to do this through the years is only about two or three, because most of these years I advertised Bodog, and they just are very fair, and there were hardly any unhappy players.
How many do you think will be advertised now with the new owner?
That is up to him, but it's going to be more than it is now, but it's not going to be a huge number like on other sites. We are going to continue having a seal of approval, and this seal is not going to be easy to get. This is not like some sites where you can just, you know, pay a little extra and you get the seal. No, it's only going to be for the really reputable casinos. But we will also promote some casinos that don't have the seal that are good but not great, shall we say. But again, we will offer this guarantee to help our players with our casinos at any time. But again, it's only for wizard players. We're not like some sites that will help anyone with a dispute with any casino. And I respect those sites a great deal, but it's a ton of work to do that. And
I'm sure.
It's just not my calling.
Gotcha. Well, we're almost out of time, so we welcome your questions. Send them to us at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com or facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge.
Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.